You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Friday, a game day, not in the Crescent City, but on the road against Denver in the Mile High City. It's going to be a difficult game, of course. I'm going to preview that towards the end of the podcast for you guys. Before that, though, we're going to talk some defense. Hasn't looked good. Hasn't really looked good, particularly in December where they have the league's worst defensive efficiency. So we're going to talk about that, what's going on there. And then that's going to lead us into the second segment of the show, which is going to talk a little bit about maybe some reinforcements eventually coming into this team, whether that's through a trade, guys returning from injuries, maybe Omer Asik being an amazing player and you're not needing Davis or Cousins and you can trade them both to the Boston Celtics for really cheap. As I pause while you all laugh and get the joke, hopefully, because that is definitely not going to be a thing. And then finally, we'll wrap up the podcast previewing the upcoming game against the Denver Nuggets. This will be a really interesting matchup, actually, I think, as they look to get back to somewhat full strength, though they're still going to be missing Paul Millsap. And we'll take just a quick look ahead at the Pelicans' schedule, try and predict some things, because they do have a pretty key and maybe easy stretch coming up, but certainly some winnable games where they can maybe get some separation from the rest of the Western Conference playoff race. So I was on the radio in New Orleans yesterday on the Eric Asher Show on WGSO 990 AM, talking some hoops with him after running to him, by the way, over at Zia in Clearview the other day when I was out there for a dinner. And I was on the show and he asked me about the defense and kind of what's going on there after having a top 10 defense last year and dropping to the 26th, 27th worst overall right now in the league. Let me see where it was. Which one? I've got the numbers in front of me. They rank 26 out of 30, so they are the fifth worst defense in the league right now overall, and basically the worst in December. And I think this is twofold, and I actually think it's a little bit overblown, especially recently, and when you try and understand what the Pelicans are doing on the defensive end. I don't want to sound like a shill or anything for the team here, but I think these defensive struggles might be overblown a little bit. So at least recently, because I kind of understand the strategy and I see, and I want to explain that to you guys to try and kind of understand a little bit about what's going on. So to start the year, the Pelicans' defensive scheme was less of the switching scheme that we saw last year, though they still do a ton of that. And they kind of went away from that a little bit because of the Solomon Hill injury. And he was the best wing defender the team had last year. When you had a guy in Drew Holiday who could lock down guards, a wing defender in Solomon Hill, and Anthony Davis to clean up the paint, that really gives you an advantage. You have three very good defenders right there. And Davis is a very good defender and has constantly improved over the past couple of seasons with that, though he's still prone to lapses. But losing one of those guys kind of got rid of the key because Solomon Hill could switch onto guards, onto bigs, or onto wings, and it was fine, and he could guard them. You don't quite have the same ability because you don't have a replacement, you know, one-for-one as versatile replacement for him. So the team resorted, at least at the start of the year, to packing the paint and defending that and making teams beat you with three-point shots and potentially leading some people wide open. And I think part of that is probably playing to DeMarcus Cousins' strength, where he doesn't want to get out of the paint and defend and wants to just kind of hang down low and doesn't want to try and close out on people on the defensive end. So you're kind of building it around a flaw of his maybe. And it's, you know, again, points in the paint is something you don't want to give up. So there's some strategy behind this. Now, that has worked at times, but it's also failed spectacularly. Think that Magic game in New Orleans earlier on in the year where they just bombed away from three, wide open three after wide open three. If you guys listen to the podcast regularly, I was pretty damn mad after that one. That was probably one of the more infuriating games that I've sat through in a while. So that doesn't always work. But then what I think they try and see here is look at what the opponent really wants to do on offense and how does a team beat another one. And use the Rockets game, for example, because Alvin Gentry talked about it. They beat you by bombarding you with threes. It's like a salvo from a pirate ship of cannons just launching basketballs, all which are so damn accurate they go into the hoop when you've got guys like Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, James Harden, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza. All those guys are like the cannons on the ship just launching ball after ball after ball, and it goes in the hoop. Three-pointer after three-pointer. Remember about a year ago, the Rockets set a record for three-point makes and attempts, I think, again in a single game, and that was against the Pelicans. So in that game, they clamped down on the three-point shooters and realized they were going to get burnt inside by James Harden and Clint Capella, but were cool with it, figuring, okay, if those guys are doing it, our offense is good enough to try and keep up and score with people. And the Pelicans right now, according to the NBA.com/stats site, have the sixth best offense in the league. Doesn't feel like it, but at times you've seen them. They really put up points. Ball movement's been good, and it's leading to a great offense. So they know if they can take away one thing you do well offensively while they're playing defense, their offense is going to score and try and keep up with people. And I think they're okay with this not being the best defensive team, but knowing they're going to kind of win in a bit of a shootout or at least keep it close. And we've seen that. They've played the Golden State Warriors well, where they try and do specific things there. So while the defensive rating's been bad, particularly in December, it's not like their strategy isn't working. This Pelicans team is 15-14. They've got a positive net rating of 0.3. It was negative last year, so it's a little bit above, you know, breaking even. It puts them, they have the 14th best net rating in the league. And they're in playoff contention, currently sitting as the 7th seed in the Western Conference. So while the defense hasn't been great, and there's little things you would certainly like to tweak, energy, effort, getting back instead of complaining after a missed call while you were on offense, things like that, I think the defensive game plan actually has worked, and it's not just that, okay, we're going to crowd the paint, and if a team shoots threes, we're just going to take away the paint, and well, you know, no. Now they realize, okay, let's defend the three-point line tonight. Let's do this. There's a lot more game planning, strategy, scouting, all of that involved, and I think that should make you feel a little bit better. And that's going to lead into the next thing that I'm going to talk about right after the reset here. So I've talked a lot about Drew Holiday this week on the podcast, and over at LockedOnPelicans.com, the question of the week is dedicated to the Pelicans guard and his recent great play and whether they think, you know, it's sustainable and what's kind of caused this from happening as the lights in my house are flickering and making me think there's a ghost here. So if I seem distracted, that's why. But definitely check out over at LockedOnPelicans.com to get some other insight. You guys hear me talk about it, but kill a little bit of time at work today reading about it because there's going to be some excellent insight about the Pelicans guard, Drew Holiday. So I'm going to talk about, you know, reinforcements and other things like that and why there's maybe some reason to hope about the defense. But another thing I want to point out is don't forget their schedule recently has ramped up for the Pelicans and playing very good offensive teams. The Warriors come to mind, you know, the Jazz come to mind, along with the Rockets and others. These are very good offensive teams, the Bucks too. So it's no surprise that when you're playing good offensive teams that your defensive rating is going to drop some. Now, bottom of the league isn't great, but it's just something to keep in mind and put some kind of, you know, coloring and context behind everything. But also, there's some room to hope. And I think part of the reason defensively this team has struggled, especially recently, is they've been playing with basically an 8-man rotation. Your guys are going to get tired when they're playing 40 minutes a game and there's not as many subs. And, you know, usually what that does is it causes shots to miss on offense, but also just lack of energy and hustle defensively. Well, come around late January, February, hopefully you're going to get a guy like Solomon Hill back on this team who's going to give you some minutes per game. And as I said on the radio the other day, even if he gives you 10 minutes a game, that's 10 minutes of rest for a combination or one guy on the Pelicans team. That can make a big difference, getting a guy a spell on the bench just to catch his breath and rest for a moment and, you know, then get him back in the game to try and play some lockdown D or better energy defense in the fourth quarter, something like that. And also don't forget, you know, they've been quiet on the trade front. There hasn't been much going on there, but they're likely to make a move by the trade deadline and going to probably be for a guy that does something defensively that can maybe spell Davis or Cousins, as we said, a big that takes away the rim at times. seems to make a lot of sense. But who knows what's going to happen? And again, even if they trade someone like Oshik in a first-round pick or something else, you're getting a guy that can play defense. And again, that's going to be a good thing, or just play minutes, because it provides rest. And this Pelicans roster, despite having some guys who can guard up a position, down a position in Drew Holiday and Etuan Moore, are still kind of playing a little bit out of position with a lack of a wing stopper, and that certainly hurts the defense too. So I think those are all some reasons why behind it and what's going on there. And then again, you're going to see reinforcements come in. If Solomon Hill's giving you 10 minutes and playing off the bench per game, because he's going to be on a minutes restriction when he comes back, likely through the end of the season, that's still good. He can lock down a bench unit and kind of anchor that defensively by himself for a little while. I think that's things you'd be quite happy with. And again, might be 10 minutes, but those are still good 10 minutes, and they're very useful players in that type, or players, minutes in that type of thing, and they're positive minutes. That's what I'm trying to say here. So we're going to switch gears here before kind of looking at the week, because it got brought to my attention a little while ago that NBA 2K has leaked some of the alternate jerseys. They're called the Statement and City jerseys. Association, Icon, Statement, and City. And on Thursday, the City editions were seemingly leaked to the public by accident, with NBA 2K putting them in the uniform selection screen. It's always great when a video game leaks things. And there's really no reason why these would be in there unless they were to be true. And I don't know if there's one for every team. We've got 28 of them. We can't see the Heat and the Raptors. The Heat one, I think, is that like Miami one with all the Miami colors that looks like kind of awesome. But I was looking through these, and we're just going to go over them. So the Pelicans do have one. That's the most important thing to us. But then we'll talk about some of the really cool ones and some that are terrible. The New Orleans City jersey, whatever these things are called, is the Mardi Gras jerseys with no sleeves. It's purple. It's got that kind of funky NOLA font on the top. It's got, you know, the green, yellow, and then purple trim around it. It looks good as a jersey. It looks way better than the sleeved ones. There's an issue, though. Oh, and then above NOLA, it's got that little ligature basketball, which looks cool. Then you've got the Zatarain's logo and everything, which doesn't look too bad being red on purple. The big thing here, and there's an issue with these. Like, these things are pretty damn sweet if it wasn't for the numbers. And they're just kind of offset. Like, you've got the two. I'm looking at it right here. If imagine you're staring at the jersey. You've got the two for Anthony Davis. And then the three. And they kind of go like a diagonal. The two is there. And then the three starts at the middle of the two. So it looks like steps almost. And it looks horrible. It doesn't look good. It looks like someone was just slapping these numbers on. Everything else is great other than this. But I'm curious to see if that's going to be the final design, or maybe they just put the numbers, I don't know, correctly here. So here's what we're going to do, because I can have some fun with this, and I've already seen it a couple times. We're just going to go down the list of all 28. I'm going to tell you whether I like them or not. Why don't you check it out? I'm checking this out over at CBSSports.com. It's up there. So Atlanta's are fine. They're okay. They're kind of cool. Boston's are plain, and I don't really care for. The Brooklyn Nets are terrible. It's black. It says Brooklyn Nets in a like semicircle, and it just looks weird because Nets is such a smaller word than Brooklyn that there's kind of this gap in this arch they're trying to make, and it also looks like there's some weird lines or something like that. It looks like someone was designing like a black Spider-Man suit to me is what I see in that. The Hornets have the Buzz City, which is just a cool thing, but they're all black with just an outline. It's kind of fine. Chicago's are kind of cool. I'll say that. The Cleveland ones say the land on them, but the font on the numbers is so bad. It looks like something out of a bad like sci-fi movie. Dallas, I don't even know what I'm looking at here. Like, why is there neon green on it? I'm just going to move on a black jersey. The Nuggets one is awesome. Probably my favorite. They've got the kind of mountains. They've got two pickaxes crossing each other, kind of making an arch too. And then you've got the mountains kind of in between the pickaxes for the Nuggets, who, by the way, I hope the Pelicans beat tomorrow. And I think it looks awesome. The Detroit Pistons ones just say Motor City, and they're all on black. And these are blurry, like blown up, pixelated things that are clearly taken off someone's TV. The quality's not the best. Like, I'm looking at the Warriors one, and it says the Bay, and it looks kind of cool, but it doesn't look like that different from their normal jersey. So I don't really care. I like the Houston ones. It's got the Chinese characters or some Asian characters. I don't really know. And I think it looks really good, just kind of different. The Pacers one, I don't like a stripe. It's got a stripe running down the side. Looks bad. The Clippers look sweet. It looks like the old San Diego Clippers. The powder blue with the kind of red and just classic kind of looking. The Lakers is black and, again, looks like it's got that like Atlanta Hawks texture kind of around it. Again, it's like a poorly designed spider suit. As my girlfriend's listening to me to do this, text me. We're doing this live in the podcast here. He goes, why does Dallas have neon green? Oh, a bunch of their buildings look like they've got neon green around them in the downtown Dallas area. I don't really know. Okay, it doesn't matter. Memphis just says Memphis and has an underline under the E-M-P-H-I. So I don't know what's going on there. Like, what? So the M and the S aren't underlined, but it underlines the M-P-H-I, which makes no sense to me. The Milwaukee Bucks ones like are fine. There's some stripes. It looks cool. Like it doesn't. Nothing about that's gonna remind me of Milwaukee. Not that I would know. The Wolves are the plainest and look just terrible. There's an outline around the numbers that doesn't match the outline around the lettering. So I don't know what's going on here. There's the Pelicans ones. We talked about that. The Knicks ones are cool. It looks like the is that like the police logo? The NYFD logo? Something like that. Some kind of like civic looking logo with Knicks on there in the numbers. It's on a dark blue and it's orange. That one's sweet. OKC sucks. They always have terrible jerseys. Then we get to the special ones, and that's the Orlando Magic. And the Magic have such cool old jerseys that this one's terrible. It's like an outer space thing is what they're going for. It's basically like they're trying to take like the Milky Way and print that onto a jersey. It looks like a pair of really expensive yoga pants or leggings. These kind of look like the leggings you would see at an outdoor EDM festival where some girl's wearing those, or she's wearing like a bodysuit of the universe on it. That's what these look like. And I just like, they really, I don't know what's going on. They could have done something so cool there. Philly say Phil, which is always cool, as I'm going like way too long on the segment. The Suns just says low Suns, which I guess is fitting. Portland's got the Rip City going on, which is always a cool thing to put on there. It's black and then it has some weird texture and I don't get that. The other real standouts here is the Kings. They're using that lion logo. It looks like their old Kansas City uniforms with the white, the powder blue, and the red. You should check those out. They look great. Spurs have camo on them. Utah's is orange. Oh, it's a gradient. It goes from like yellow to orange as a gradient from top to bottom and just says Utah. And then the Wizards one is kind of cool. It just says the District of Columbia and then the number below it. And the district has that little ball, kind of their logo of the hand reaching for it. So some of those are cool. The Pelicans are right in the middle of the pack looking like that. They would be really high up there, in my opinion, in my esteemed fashion rankings here, if it wasn't for the off-centered numbers. That is disappointing. And hopefully that gets fixed before we get to the actual jerseys getting released. So don't forget, always check out the Locked On NBA podcast to catch up on everything around the association. Subscribe to it. It's once a week. You get anonymous scouts coming on to talk about certain things. You get GMs, coaches, basically all that kind of stuff that you aren't going to get insight from anywhere else. So make sure you tune in to the Locked On NBA podcast. So the Pelicans take on the Denver Nuggets tonight on the road in Denver, which is always a tough place to play. And we saw they kind of struggled there much earlier in the season and really got their butts kicked, which was a rough game. And this Denver team's a little bit different since then. We've seen Paul Millsap go down with injury. Nikola Jokic is cleared to play and back again, but you've got to wonder if they're going to let him be a full go. Even though he was cleared, he was held out of the game on Wednesday that they played. So we'll see how, you know, if he's going full bore here on tonight. And then you've also got Will Barton, who's been, you know, a lethal player and who's like a noted Pelicans killer, is potentially going to be out as well with a back injury. So it's a winnable game. And this Denver Nuggets team is in the midst of a pretty rough stretch and looking to just get anything. So you know they're going to come for the Pelicans because they think they can win this. So the Pels just need to kind of do what they do. I just don't want to go into this one too much after running kind of long with the fashion segment we just did before. But look, this is an important stretch for the Pelicans. And the Ringer wrote something about this kind of I think yesterday it was, where, you know, you have a number of 500 teams, you know, kind of right about there, and someone's going to pull away from them, and they think it happens to be the Pelicans, and partially because of the two bigs in Davis and Cousins. Now, I think it's because they're hitting an easier part of their schedule, but it's not too long. You have the Nuggets tonight, then you go on the road to the Wizards, who are still going to be with a kind of banged up, not 100%, but coming back from injury, John Wall. You've then got the Magic on the road. That should be a winnable game. Then take on the Heat on the second night of a back-to-back. The Heat have largely disappointed. Whiteside's been in and out of the lineup, and they're kind of just a mix of six men otherwise. I really kind of like their team in the Eastern Conference, but against the West, that team would not be in the playoffs. And again, they've just got a bunch of like overpriced sixth and seventh guys that they've got on the roster. So when you've got at least three or four, you know, quality starters that the Pelicans are playing with right now, like, that should be able to get this done for you, particularly because Goran Dragic has fallen off. Then you've got the Nets at home in the first home game back here on the 27th, then the Mavericks at home, and then the Knicks at home. So when you look at this, there's, if you call the Nuggets game a 50-50 game at best, and then you've got the Wizards-Pelicans game, depending on John Wall, maybe you, let's call it a loss and be generous here, even though I think that could be closer to a 50-50 game. But then you've got the Magic, then you've got the Heat, and the Nets. And then the Mavericks. That's four wins right there. The Knicks at home, they should be. That should be five wins. So right now, over these next seven games, you're looking at potentially five wins from there. And if we're going to call the Pelicans-Nuggets game 50-50 and the Pels-Wizards game 50-50, let's give them another one win here. That's six wins. All of a sudden, that gives you a cushion in the Western Conference if you all of a sudden go over the next seven, 6-1. Look, let's just say 5-2 to make it easy. That puts you at 20-16. That's likely going to be good for the fifth spot in the Western Conference when you consider the schedule that Denver has, that Portland has. Portland's lost five straight, I think. OKC still struggling but got a big win. And Utah's starting to fall behind a little bit as kind of all of the injuries are catching up to them. Pels could be looking pretty good in that five seed and not necessarily a lock for the playoffs, but absolutely in the driver's seat. But to do this, you've got to come out and play with energy and effort and be sharp and focused and not have these, you know, lack of basketball IQ things causing you to make mistakes and different things like that. So that's going to be a concern. Can they get it done on the road against Denver, a shorthanded Denver team they have an advantage against? And if they can do that, you have to feel good about this team maybe getting its head in the right place going forward, hopefully. But a 500 team is going to play 500 ball. And if the Pelicans are a 500 team, we're going to see them come right back down to earth if they get a win. But hopefully that won't be the case. So that's going to do it for this week's worth of podcasts here on Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight. If you're seeing Star Wars instead, enjoy that. I have not seen it yet. We'll be seeing it tonight and watching the game tomorrow morning. So if I'm silent tweet-wise, that's definitely why. I'll be enjoying that. No one spoil anything. Don't be that dude. So enjoy your weekend, and I'll be back with you all on Monday to recap the game and talk more Pelicans.